You might like to open your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to honor yourself, your day, your time, the outworking of that which you have in mind. Give us understanding, and our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We would ask, as we've been looking at God's wonderful management of time, providence, and how history is being outworked, so understanding as we've done that and looking at future things as they're going to happen. And in the process, God has gone and done a wonderful thing. He has a wonderful plan and purpose and how it's all going. So just to refresh our mind as we're proceeding, that wonderful plan, what is the movement? What is the purpose of this wonderful creative plan of God, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation? What is this plan, God? Why is the plan? And it centers in the Lord, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Christ's wonderful death. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, our time in these times as we looked at it. So, in the process, God is an awesome person, to say the least, and we exercise that today a little bit to remind ourselves that God has to get us to understand his magnificence. And therefore, we held up the stars and looked at the stars in the sky, and we look up and we can see we can never, 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 never come close to the trillions and galaxies or whatever there are, because they cannot be measured. It's beyond our comprehension, our ability to understand. So therefore, when we look up, we only look up so high. Even the astronomers and people out there in space taking pictures, we only look so high. And then what? We go up like the ceiling. And then we're what? We see that? But all our life is down here. We're back down to the earthly setting. And that's where we focus on, understandably, and we concentrate. In the process, we lose out on who's doing all this. What's it all about? We lose it because we're caught up in what's going on in a given point in history, culture, what nation you're in, what time of everything. So God, angels were created by God. They are very, very, very special. They have a beginning. They have no end. And they don't have a problem like you and I do with a nature. They don't struggles. They don't have that in that sense. And the angels are all created by God. That's very, very special. And having said the creating of the angels, God goes, and God has a plan. It's centered in his Son going to the cross and die. He puts angels out there, and angels are going to set the pattern for the program, remember. So here are the angels. And they are awesome, and Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, is certainly an example of the exquisiteness, the marvelousness of being. We couldn't even comprehend the beauty that God made him. We can read it, Ezekiel 28, but can't comprehend it. It's beyond our understanding. So, here's the angels, and God created them, knowing that Lucifer would fall. And in the process, God created humans. Now, humans is the centerpiece. Before angels are ever created, humans are the centerpiece. The Lamb of God slain. He had to be born of the Virgin Mary to die on the cross, which didn't exist. Now, having said that, so here's us humans. Now, God made angels very, very, very unique and wonderful. Now, God's going to go and make us humans. And in chapter 2, just reminding ourselves, chapter 2, and in verse 7, and the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God took us from the dust. Everything, our whole life, is from the dust. By that I mean, God takes all the, where the animals all come from the dust. What do animals do? Well, animals are made, everything is made to survive and keep going. And so the animals are made, simple thing, animals are made, cows, to eat grass, etc. I can't eat grass. And apart from God making Nebuchadnezzar special, I can't eat grass. I could eat grass, well, good, it's going to do. I can't digest, but a cow can eat grass, and I can eat the cow who ate the grass. That's how it works. So that everything is eaten and being eaten, and it all goes along, but we're very special. We're made of the dust. That's the point. Now, having been made of the dust and keeping that in understanding, and our Lord is going to be born, Genesis 3:15, the promise, the seed of the woman, etc., is going to take place. Now, and Adam and Eve are going to believe. Now, here's Adam, here's Eve, they are very special. They are not like angels. God made them wonderfully, wonderfully different. God made them to find a home in their heart for them to know God, to honor God, and for God to find himself comfortably. They are to represent God. God telling the truth about God, till God tells the truth about himself in man who tells the truth about God. When man is normal and right, man is reflecting God's wonderful person back to him in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, dust, over if I can, to Psalm number 8. And you would recall, so angels are special, but humans are more special. They're meant to be special. They're meant to do what? To show God's wonderful person being created in his image and likeness. Who are they going to show it to? To the angels. The angels sinned and all the other things we've done. And in the process, they're questioning the judgment of God and sentencing them to hell. The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Psalm 8. God telling about the birth of his son, among other things, sliding down. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, in the light of God's awesome creation, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou should biddest him, who are just made of the dust of the earth? How could we be special more than angels that are way ahead of us in many ways? We're special. Hang on to the word special, unique. You're made to show God's wonderful person. Now, verse 5. For thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. God has created us. We aren't angels. We're less than angels. And in the process, God has crowned him. Humans, Adam and Eve, sinned, and they lost they lost the position to be able to enjoy God's wonderful specialness, made in his image and likeness, crowned with his glory and honor. They missed it. God is going, the Lamb of God is going to be slain. Is God going to lose out on his specialness? Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, speaking of our Lord, what did our Lord do? Chapter 2, in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that's quoting from Psalm 8. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, to die to be the Lamb of God slain, crowned, like in Psalm 8, verse 5, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, every one of us. Christ would die for our sins. He's crowned with glory and honor in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God is. And so, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ saves us and recovers, for those that believe, he recovers the specialness. What makes us special? We're just dust. But when dust finds deity, when deity finds dust, when God finds a home, he died on the cross to make this dust special. It was meant to be special, but Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost the specialness. They lost it. But God didn't. God never said it would be lost, because before anyone was ever created, he died on the cross for our sins. They weren't even there to do it. God did all everything ahead, all wonderfully set up. And so when Christ comes, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. He's crowned with glory and glory and glory and honor. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. Now, that got that special. God meant you, every human, to be awesomely special, more special than angels. And if people understood that, as you'll see in a bit here, if we can do it, it would make a big difference. But we don't understand that. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah. And as you would just to recall, Isaiah and chapter 14. And remember, Lucifer, son of the morning, the angel, the devil, has a remarkable position before the throne of God, before God's wonderful person. He has a wonderful, wonderful, he's adorned, he's beautiful, Ezekiel 28. He is so beautiful, all the angels look at him. He is so wonderfully, wonderfully beautiful. And that's his problem. He gets very proud of his beauty. And he looks at himself, and here's the other lesser angels, and he looks at himself and says, wow, wow. Who did this to me? God did. But Lucifer, in his pride, in his beauty, Ezekiel 28, wanted what? Chapter 14, Isaiah, and in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above all the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of consecration and the sides of the north at the top. And I will ascend, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. God God, and here's God that made him. And he said, boy, and no one else is like me. Boy, I'm up there with God. I would like to be up there with you, God. God, I'd like to be able to be a little higher, a little more into it. That's what I like. I like to be like you. Sit there. I can't be you, but I want to be like you up there. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, the Lamb of God. So here we are. And remember now, the angels are special, and humans are very special. Humans are very special in the sense that God made Israel. Israel is very special, as we did. No one's like them. They're the nation of all nations. There's no nation that can compare with them. United States is wonderful because of its grace, but it can't compare with Israel's future. What Israel, God has in mind for Israel. No, Israel, way up there. So here's Lucifer, son of the morning. He wants to be like the Most High. So what do we know about Lucifer, son of the morning? Over to Thessalonians. In the Thessalonians, so you know, as you do know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, picking up in verse 4, this is talking of the Antichrist coming. In verse 4, who openeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. This is the Antichrist. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, which is going to be built in Jerusalem, the temple of God, showing himself that what? He is God. That's what he's going to do. He wants to be like God. He wants everything that God gets. He wants it. He's going to be like God, going to be a God. That's what he's going to be. In the end of verse, showing himself that he is God. Now, he's going to be like him in a most wonderful, that's what he wants, worship. Over, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, remember, God's tempted 40 days and nights in the wilderness before he begins his public ministry. So as he's tempted, he's going to prove himself. He is the right one, the sinless Son of God, to be our Savior. He proves himself faultless in every single area in the light of his humanity. So therefore, the test, one test, given by the devil, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. So that's his test. He passes the test. One of the tests that were given, remember, in verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So here's the whole world. What do we know? When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan ended up being the boss. He became the boss of the world system. He's the god of the world system, the prince, the ruler, the power of the air. He's in charge. So he offers, before Christ begins his public ministry, he offers him the whole ball of wax. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. Just honor me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I'll give you them, Rome and Egypt and all of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. If you will fall down and worship me, then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What does Satan want? Worship. Worship. He wants to be like God. He wants to be recognized. He wants to be given the position. Look at him, he's so beautiful. But once he sinned, he wasn't beautiful anymore. No more, lost all that. All of a sudden, wow. When we see him, we won't really want him. You know, the devil, etc. Now, having said that, over if you would, Revelation 13. That's Thessalonians about the Antichrist and Revelation chapter 13. The Antichrist himself. Okay, we're going to jump forward into history, into the future. What's the Antichrist going to do? Well, we know what he wants to do, Matthew chapter 4, when he begins at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, he wants worship. So it's going to keep going down the corridor, and in the process, chapter 13 of Revelation, sliding down to verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, the Antichrist, and who was able to make war with him? Sliding down to verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, languages, nations, everybody, all us humans, and all that dwell upon, verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name was not, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God had a wonderful plan to save everybody, but everybody doesn't want to be saved. Everybody doesn't want to be saved. And the devil wants what? Worship. That's the game. What's important about the game? Lucifer, Satan, the devil, was beautiful, powerful, wow. And then he made humans less than human, less than angels, lower, of dust that would die, and then go back to dust. He made them dust. He made them special. Lucifer, son of the morning, special. He made humans special to be special. You can't have that. You can't have you guys special. You can't do that. I'm going to do, if I was the devil, what he did, I'm going to do everything possible to keep you from ever enjoying being special. I'm going to make your whole existence unspecial. That's what I do. And when I'm all done, you'll end up worshiping me. That's the point. I don't want you to be special. I don't want you to even come close to being special. Our Lord comes along, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He, Hebrews chapter 2, crowned with glory and honor, he is the man God intended us to be, to have that specialness. Now, having that specialness that he had, and what do they do with that? The world doesn't want the devil. That's Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The devil's going to go and crucify him. And like you said this morning in that, he had no beauty to him. He was so beaten up, so battered, a wreck, terrible. Who would ever look at him? What's so special about him? Nothing, see? Nothing special. Ah, and then he rises again in a resurrected body. Now the devil, that's grace. The devil hasn't changed his mind about humans. They are not to be special. They are not to have take any place. So hang on. So here we go, and if we can, and here's the church. What's the church? It isn't Israel. It's a bunch of whosoevers that get saved in God's wonderful grace. And what are they going to do, being saved in God's grace? They're going to go and represent him. They're going to represent the wonderful resurrected life of our Lord. They're going to have Christ in them, the hope of glory. God is going to continue to demonstrate the word, John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten God, full of grace and truth. And we're going to go and he's going to go and demonstrate. They crucified him, tried to get rid of him, but he's going to take whosoever's made of the dust that were intended to be special. He's going to save them and show the world system, the satanic system, and the Jewish system, going to show them God meant humans to be wonderfully, wonderfully special for God to show his wonderful person. So now, how am I going to do that? Here's the whosoever's that are saved by the grace of God. And then nobody's. Now what's the devil going to do? Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, the devil's remarkably, awesomely smart. And the bad guys are awfully smart. The bad guys know how to play the game. They don't have any rules. They don't have the rules for radicals. They don't have any rules. They play the game to win. They don't care how they win. They don't care 2 cents how they win. No, sir. So they can play it. And people that try to play the game rightly, it doesn't work good because they keep getting beat up. Now, 2 Corinthians 11, what's the devil going to do to get the whosoevers that are saved? In verse 13, you know it. For such are false apostles, 11:13 of 2 Corinthians. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We're going to mimic, imitate, deceive, trick. Everything that in the church, apostles and prophets and the church leadership and all of it, we're going to corrupt it. We're going to twist it and get rid of it. We're going to destroy it by the apostles, false ones. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, transformed into an angel of light. Verse 14, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, that serve, also be transformed, there's your word again, as the ministers, the servants, the deacons, the people that wait on tables, the one that helps do everything, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Apostles, light, righteousness, that sells. That sells. Matthew chapter 13 and the wheat and the tares and all of that? How could that possibly be? He got in. What's he going to do? He cannot have the church body being special. He cannot have it. He cannot, hang on for a sec, we're fine. Go over here to Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to look and remind me of myself, if I can, of the church in Jerusalem. And you'll notice, please, chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, G-R-A-C-E, was upon them all. What's God doing? That was the church. If I can destroy that kind of church, which he did with Christendom, and we had 1,000 different churches and 1,000 different views and 1,000 different things, as it seems. So who knows what's right, and this one's right. Well, then how can this one be right? They can't be both right. They can't be too. Well, we got this in common, but we don't aren't the same. We aren't the same. So we're all over the place. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, now what does that do to the church? What did it do? Galatians. And in Galatians, in chapter 1, and you will notice in verse 5, 1 and 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the, you're going to, every time, G-R-A-C-E, grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace. John 1:16, and the grace you're going to receive, grace, he's going to show his grace wave after wave, day after day, hour after hour. He's going to demonstrate his wonderful, wonderful grace. Therefore, what's the problem, believer? Who has caused you to turn away from the grace of God that God is giving you to represent his wonderful person? Who caused you to go into another gospel, another kind of thinking, another, well, a little bit of works, a little bit of this? What difference does it make? It takes away the grace of God. So what are we going to do? The devil succeeds, yes. Over, if I can, to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whom, whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You know he was crucified. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Did you do something to earn something? No. Merit something? No, what you did is you believed God, and it was counted to you for righteousness. That's what you did. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're saved by grace? Are you now made perfect by the flesh, and what you do and say and think? Is that how you're going to be made? That's what happened. What happened? I got you to lose your specialness. I got you to think about another good news. I got you to think about what other people think. I got you to think about being tolerant and fair and everything. God has to be fair, you know, and all this. And I'm going to get you to go and think like that. And what are you going to do? You're going to get caught up in yourself, and you're going to lose your specialness. You're going to lose the grace of God. That's what's going to happen. That's the ball game. The devil wants no worship to you, from you to God, only to himself. He wants to win. Now, he can't win. He knows that. But he can certainly louse up all that God has done in creating you in his image. And it is like this. He can louse that up, and we can be utterly losers, saved as by faith. 1 Corinthians 15, by fire. All the wonderful things we should be. God had a wonderful plan for us humans before we were ever created. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good work. God did all of this for us, but we missed it. And we live so many times on earth, so long on earth, and we just lose out. So God, here we are looking. And here's the world system. And the world system is in power. And you're right next door, so do this. Over to, before you do that, go over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Paul, how are we supposed to handle this? You know it. Chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save. If I'm going to get boast, if I'm going to get excited, it isn't about it me, said Paul. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about the cross? By whom the world is crucified unto me? The world, the world. You have no connection. What happened to the world system? The world system went and the world is crucified. The world has been condemned. Christ condemned the world system on the cross. He condemned it. So when I look at the world system, I see it as condemned. Condemned already. And the end of verse 14, and I unto the world, and the world looks at me and sees me. I tell them I'm a believer in the cross. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is to them foolishness. I'm looking to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're going to liken yourself, to reckon yourself, to identify yourself with the Lamb of God that was slain, crucified. There's no beauty in him, and there's no beauty in you when you reject him. We're going to be like the rest of them. So therefore, the world is crucified, and I am to the world. The world sees, I see the world as crucified, and the world sees me on the cross as nobody, not special. No more special, just nobody. Just an ordinary nobody. Okay, now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God is going to go on his wonderful grace and the light of the overcomers. And we are in contrast to the world. The devil doesn't want us to be special, special, special. Just doesn't want that to happen. And therefore, God, the admonition, what the devil is going to want is part of the world system, to think like the world system, to condone the world system. That's what he wants. Now, slide over if I can, in your Bible to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 2. What does the devil want? The devil wants us to not be special. What does God want? Don't get deceived. Don't get deceived. Don't get tricked. Don't get caught up in the fact, well, we aren't really that special. Everyone's pretty special, etc. And don't do that. Don't do that. God meant you to be wonderfully, wonderfully special in a very special way. So therefore, don't get caught up in the world. That's the warning. Galatians, don't get caught up in the world. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Don't get caught up in it. Why? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is, what's that little word? Does it say not? Is not in him. You can't enjoy God's wonderful loving you when you're loving the world. I want to be fit in. No, you're special. You don't believe. Israel is special, special. We're told, and we did all those things recently. Israel is special, special. There's no one like them. They can never, never, never belong to any nation. They never can get absorbed and disappear. Israel can't disappear. God's going to bring each Jewish people, person out, bring them all together ultimately here and make a wonderful, wonderful tribulation experience and then to get saved in a wonderful way. God's going to do that to the Jew. in a wonderful way. Now here we are looking, and in the process, the world. You can't love God and the world. Just doesn't work. Verse 16, for all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Remember, all of that is in Genesis chapter 3. That's what Adam and Eve faced. They went through these. They saw that's what got them into trouble. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world system. Verse 17, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So God, what are you trying to sell me? I want you to understand you're special. The whole thing is what? The whole world you live in, under the god of this world, Satan, refuses to let you be fresh, special. It'll hound you, hunt you down, persecute you, do anything, and plus your old nature will go against it to be special. You're wonderfully special to God. Has nothing to do with your family, your marriage, your kids, your anyway, work, home, school, play, rich, poor, nothing to do with it. You're special above all of that. Above all of it, you're special. You're special to God. Not looking up at the stars, above the stars, the God who's over all the stars. That's who you're special to. That's who you're special to. That's awesome. And most people don't know that. They never get to do it, enjoy it in a most wonderful way. Why are we here? Who are we? Why are we here? And if we go by the system, and you know, communism, etc., evolution and all of that same time, 1850 and a little more than that, all of those things came together just like this. Evolution, communism, like this. And that's what fed each other, as it were. Now, in the process, now how long, why are we existent, etc.? If we look at the system, we have no reason. And we shared this the other day a little bit. There's no basis for me being alive apart from whatever I can get, gain, or do while I'm breathing, knowing I'm going to die. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I'm going to do everything possible to avoid it. But it's there. And everyone before me has died. And I'm going to die. And I have nothing. Nothing. I can dream about gods, little g. I can do all that, but I have nothing. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so humanism, materialism, what's it do? All of it keeps us from being special. Evolution keeps you from being special. Socialism keeps you from being special. Materialism keeps you from being special because everything's material, things you touch. Humanism, etc. They all line up like this. They keep you from what? Being special. The whole system is there now in our educational system, our political system. It's to keep you from being special. Special. And the group up here that's trying to hang on to history and Americanism and patriotism is up here. But the group growing up that have been in college, or going to college, going to politics, they're all under the what? The movement of socialism, etc. That's what they're getting. That's what they're being taught. And all of you're going to keep dying off, and they're going to keep coming up. That's what they're going to keep doing. All going to disappear. They can't change it. It's how are you going to change? You can't fix the education. You want to fix this? God bless you. I wish we could. It's deep-rooted in every way. And people are bent on making it work. The people that want to stop it aren't that committed. The people that want it to stay and happen, that they're committed. Now, Having said that, over if you would to Proverbs. And in Proverbs, and in chapter 1, Now, I hope you got a little bit, tried to get you to understand a little bit again. The motive is to what? Keep humans from believing in God, being saved, being special. To keep them religiously, politically, educationally, every way possible, to get them deceived and seduced into a whole lesser bottom under the stars kind of existence. And that's what it's doing. And they're in control. And we started to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, and we didn't do it, but in the process, he's the prince of the power of the air, and the whole world system is under his power. So they all think they're doing everything, but the China, Russia, Venezuela, Iran, Iraq, wherever you want to go, Europe, what are we doing? He's the God of this world, moving, the motivator to keep what? Keep God out of the picture. And if you go to some of these countries, do you know how hard it would be to find God, to go to a church? To go to a church, to be able to publicly stand out and say, thank God I'm saved, without going to jail or something? Where would you go? Not many places anymore. No. Powerful. Now, and becoming more powerful in this country. So here's Proverbs. My question then, why are we existent? Where do we come from? How come people don't understand the simple, wonderful, that we're made to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? We're made by our Creator, declaration, second paragraph. We're made by our Creator to have a wonderful relationship to God. That's what we are. Now, here's Proverbs. Solomon, who gives us Ecclesiastes, looking under the sun. So here's Proverbs. Now, and you'll notice, please, in chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. To fear God, to honor God, to look to God. They don't do that. So, wisdom stands personified, making wisdom as a person. It is. He's a person. Our Lord God is wisdom. But using wisdom as a person to go and draw people to it. And therefore, verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. We're looking for save whosoever's up and down the land. We're looking for the believing heart. Wisdom wants to save. Wisdom wants to bring to a knowledge of God. But, in verse 20-21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, and in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, what is wisdom saying to the whole world, if they would but listen? How long, ye angels, how long, ye simple ones? How long, ye simple ones? And the word simple ones has to mean, with this little word open, to be inexperienced, to be uncommitted, easily led. Ignorance is the word. To be sort of stupid about everything. I don't care to know. I don't want to know. And our world system is accommodating them. Because we've got a technological system, computer and all of it, loaded with zillions and zillions and piles and piles of knowledge of everything everywhere. And that has taken the place of what we to understand in our heart. Good, common sense understanding. Responsible understanding as a human being, it's gone. And you have all kinds of illustrations as you see it. You'll see it. In things they say, people up in the, making big decisions up in the White House and that. Stupid. How could you be so? No, they aren't stupid. They're this. They don't want to know. They choose ignorance. How long, verse 22, will you be stupid? Do you remember what it says in Romans 1:23 in that? And the professing themselves to become wise, they did what? Became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they got rid of God and became fools. What are you saying, Solomon? Wisdom is looking at the fools, looking to try to save them. Let me keep going. And the scoffers, that it's a verb, to mock, to mock God, to turn from God, mockers, in verse 22. And she scorns delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They don't want to know. It isn't that they don't know. They got 1,000 ways to know everything in our day. But they don't really want to know. And they don't have to know. Do you have to know how to spell good and read good and count good all by yourself? No, you have the system. It'll even write for you. Isn't it true? They got it now. They have it. I read it. I did a thing. They got a computer system, a computer thing. And, you know, you can go to college, I guess. Don't tell them you got one. And go to college. And you tell it, the teacher asked me to do a paper on soap suds. And you tell the thing, talk to it, I need a paper on soap suds that looks like it's mine. And comes out, sign it, you're done. Right? That's what they got. Why do I have to think? Why do I have to do anything? You say, why do I have to be responsible? And I have that. I had that from the doctor. The doctor the other day told me, he said, the people that I could hire, I need to hire a doctor, another doctor. I need to hire. I can't find a doctor that will be, the young doctors, forget it, he said, hard to find one, a young doctor. That what? That cares about the person that they're supposed to be helping. They ought to care about the system. All they care about is, tell me what your problem is. I push the button, it tells me what to do. Bend over 10 times, stand on your head 6, and you're better. See, that's it. Do you need to understand anything about it? Do you need to understand the person, what's making it? No. You can't find anybody that wants to care. That's true of the police. True elsewhere. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. They don't want to be responsible. They want everything. And I started work at 10 this morning, and I want to go home at 3. And anything else, forget it. Make sure I get all my pay. See? Stupid. How do you help? What do? We got a society that is bound to go where it's going. Let me keep reading. Fools, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called you, because I have called and ye refused, you wouldn't listen. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded me. Behold, you have said it not, you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You wouldn't pay any attention to good, wonderful instruction. You didn't want to know, you didn't want to learn, you'd rather be a fool. Verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. And you keep going and you're going to reap consequences you wish you never would add, but you're going to find it, and you won't find me, said God. You ask for it, and you've got it. That's where it's going. Verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. I tried to get them, I tried to help them, they didn't want help. They rejected me. Now they can't find me. They can't find me. Where's the answer? Where's my help? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They don't want to know, they don't want to understand, and they don't want to honor God. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the smoke shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They're going to go. But, wonderfully, but, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. God, wow. That's wisdom. God's trying to help them, trying to help people. People don't want to get helped. They don't want to know. Over to chapter 8, Proverbs. In closing chapter 8, I guess. And in the process, they don't want to know. So chapter 8 is a whole chapter on wisdom. Only this time, this wisdom finds its home in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He represents the wisdom of God. He's the one trying to get you to pay attention. But they don't want to pay attention to him. They reject him. He's crucified. There's no beauty in him. There's nothing special in Jesus. No, there's nothing special in me. Who says so? My system says so. The system tells me I'm not special. I'm not special, really. I'm common. I'm just a number. Just a number. Just a number. That's all. And as long as I don't get in the way, and as long as I fulfill whatever they're after, I can exist. But if I'm in the way and I don't fulfill what they want, I'm expendable. And the people that can really, they're trained for years and years ahead of us, communism. I can wipe out 1 million people just like that. Not 10 people, 1 million people just like that. Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Now, so therefore, chapter 8, and here's wisdom, and tying it together if I can. Verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? We just did that in chapter 1, etc. And sliding down, verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of the excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be the right thing. And wisdom's going to tell what you're missing. If you don't pay attention to wisdom, if you don't pay attention to God's wonderful person, and you reject him, you don't want to know him, then you lose. And then here's a whole chapter, chapter 8, all these verses. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. Wisdom telling you. Look at verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, I was there. I'm there. Who? God is the creator. He's the one of wisdom. He's full of wisdom. And he says, I was there. I was there when it was all done, said the Lord. I was there. Wisdom. Wow. Sliding down. Keep going. Sliding down all the way down to verse 33. Verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. They don't want life. They don't want to know. That's the world we live in. They don't want to know. More and more people don't want to know, and make the people that do want to know become smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's awesome. But the game plan, is to make sure you aren't special, so you don't enjoy being special. You never enjoy being special. No, no. And that's how the devil's going to play the game. And that's what it's all about. The whole wonderful movement. Here's Babylon, here's all the stuff that's going to be happening. Why? It's the outworking of the plan. God's letting it all play out. To what end? When the devil gets his hand in Jerusalem, in the temple, the Antichrist got the whole world, as it were, thinking about him, moving with him in some form or fashion. And then the Battle of Armageddon. God said, I'm going to let it all build up. And the world system, I'm going to let the devil have his way and get all the humans to line up in the Battle of Armageddon against God. I'm going to let it happen. Not all of them, but lots of people. To go against God. I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it be. I want it to be finished. So you'll see what started in Isaiah chapter 14. And here, Lucifer, son of the morning, I will be like God. I'll be like God. No, you won't. But I'm going to let it play out. And that's what you're seeing. That's where prophecy and all of this is happening. It's playing out the game. Wow. I hope you get a little bit. It's not hard. Not hard. Just what it is. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts and help us understand a little better so that God, in the process, we don't lose you. You, in your saving grace, makes us special so that we can show your saving grace, to show your grace that makes us of the dust of the ground awesome, awesomely special, to be able to enjoy and be part of your wonderful person in your body as believers. God, thank you, thank you, thank you very much for all that you're doing. We owe you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.